Hello and welcome to this episode of A Life in the Landscape, a podcast where I, Peter Cox, talk about things that I've been up to in the world of photography. Joining me as ever is my good friend, Roger Overall.
Hello, folks.
How are you getting on?
I'm very well, as you can tell. I'm raring to go, full of energy and excited to hear stories of chilly and exciting exotic gear, because we all love gear. Let's face it, it's the only reason we take photographs is so we can hold gear.
It's funny, as I've often said, if I wasn't techie to begin with, I would be painting instead of taking photographs. But I think all people that get into photography as a second career or as a hobby late in life do it rather than painting because they like gear.
What do you think? I mean, there must be, but artists, they must be sitting there in clusters, groups of artists, I don't actually know what a collective of artists is, discussing saber hair brushes and stroking their saber hair brushes. I've gone off on a tangent. Peter,
you have
been doing something very exciting. Let's talk about that.
Right. So, yes, I spent 2 weeks in Chile a few weeks ago. I was over there on a project, and the project that I was working with was with a photographer, a fine art photographer in London by the name of Timo Lieber. And we were doing some aerial work over there, which I won't go into specifics of because he hasn't released his project yet. But essentially, it involved me flying a drone and him taking photographs with a camera slung under said drone. And we're there in the Atacama Desert. Areas of it are the driest part of the world. We were not in the driest part, although it was pretty bloody dry, let me tell you. We were very fortunate in that we were working with Phase One, the medium format camera company, which I've been a user of for the last, I suppose, nearly 10 years. God, is it that long? And they have a new product that we had pre-production hardware of, which is has now been released, and it's the trichromatic back, which is basically one of their 100 megapixel CMOS sensor backs that has a special new Bayer matrix. And I confess that the nitty gritty of the technical stuff I haven't had a chance to read up on in full yet, but the basic net result of this is that you have more accurate color than has ever been possible with a color digital camera before. They've re-engineered the matrix so that the color separation is better, and you get basically a more faithful version of what you photographed that would need less post-processing to get what, you know, when I make a photograph, I'm trying to make it as close to what I saw as possible. And sometimes that takes quite a bit of work. But the idea of this new sensor is that you have to do less of that sort of work and you get a more pleasing and accurate result out of the camera.
So 100 megapixels, have they had 100 megapixel back before?
Yeah, they have. So they've had the, is it the, so this is the IQ3. The one that I own is the IQ180. It's an 80 megapixel back. And then I think the 280, and they introduced the 100 megapixel back with the current generation, which is the third generation, the IQ3s. And then this is a variation on that. So it's interesting actually, because they've both gone with lots of color and no color very recently, because they came out with the achromatic back, which I was also involved with some promotional work with them. I did a video with my good friend Steve Gosling in Scotland back in May. Is it May or June? About that, where it's a back that has no Bayer matrix at all, and it just records black and white, and in fact it also records infrared and ultraviolet if you wanted to. So they've gone from that to having this super duper excellent color version. So it's they've gone from 0 to 100 clearly in the last month or two.
they've practically done the whole history of photography in a couple of months, gone from black and white to color. So what were you doing then exactly? Were you photographing with the back? Why were you out there in Chile with this back? Was it so that you could take pictures yourself? Was it because they wanted you to film some drone footage around it? What was happening there?
We were there primarily for Timo's project, which was the aerial project. And so we had a back on the drone, and we were using that. And so he was doing his photography with this. Basically, the idea was, he was doing this project. He talked to Phase One, said that he was working with, planning this thing and would they be interested in getting involved? And as it happened, the timing really worked out well in terms of the trichromatic. So they really pulled out all the stops and gave us a whole bunch of hardware to use for the project, including lenses and the backs and so on, that were this new pre-production version. So we got to kind of be the first ones nearly to see what this thing was like. So that was Timo's project. So he was making those photographs. And then after we finished that project, I then went on and I spent an extra week or 10 days or so doing my own photography. I was scouting for a potential workshop that I may run in the area in the years to come. And so I had one of these myself that I could use for this project. So I was doing my own ground-based photography with that. And in fact, the image that we used in last month's newsletter, although I couldn't say it at the time, was made with this new hardware. So it was pretty cool because the place is, you know, it's an incredibly barren place. It's a place of extremes. You know, the temperature extremes, even in the winter time there, it's sort of plus 30 to minus 20 or so Celsius between the day and the night cycle. There is virtually no vegetation. But what it does have is it has these incredible colors, both in terms of the sand and the rocks and the salt and the water in the various lagunas that there are around there. And then also what happens in the sky, because as we discussed last month, the colors that you get in the sky are incredible. And there's no clouds there usually. Sometimes if you're lucky, you will get clouds. But while I was there, we saw clouds, I think, on one evening, and it was a spectacular sunset. And of course, we were just too exhausted. It was while I was still working with Timo. We were both too exhausted to do anything about it. And we looked at it knowing we were missing an opportunity that might not come again for the whole rest of the trip, but we just hadn't the energy. We were just so wiped out with the work we were doing. For the whole rest of the trip, I hardly saw a cloud. But what you get in the sky as the day-night cycle changes and you go from day into night and night into day, you get some absolutely incredible purples and oranges in the sky. It's really something else.
So there you are. You mean, you poor man. There you are in one of the world's most exotic locations that not many people get to travel to. And you have a pre-production model?
I don't know if you could technically call it a prototype, but it wouldn't be very far off of that. I mean, it wasn't even beta hardware. It was still alpha hardware. And, Capture One, the software that I was using to process the images, which is Phase One's editing software, hadn't yet been updated to properly, you know, deal with the back. So I didn't even have a beta version of that to use. I had a profile that I could apply that would give an approximation of how it would look in the final version. And I've had a play actually since it's been released with those files with the latest version. And there is definitely an improvement further on what I was seeing, which was already impressive enough.
Well, that's the question then. So you already have an 80 megapixel back from the same manufacturer, which produces, let's face it, pretty damn good photographs. And now you have this, you've had a play with the new back. Could, as you say, you did notice some difference. I mean, is it a marked difference? Is it subtle differences? Would it be enough to turn your head?
I would say it's subtle but noticeable. What I really wanted to do, and I just simply didn't have the time, because when I got back from Chile, I had to return the hardware pretty quickly to Phase One, as they needed to actually use that hardware for, for their own demonstration purposes, because they don't have dozens of these things lying around. You know, they're gearing up for production and probably have geared up, but at the time they needed all the backs they could get their hands on. I wanted to keep to hang on to it and use it on the Ireland workshop that I ran immediately after I came back. And then I was planning to do some comparison shots. So basically having the camera photograph a scene with my old back, and then take the back off the camera, put the new one on, and take the same photograph and do that a few times and get real apples to apples comparisons. But because I had to carry so much gear to Chile, I didn't have room or capacity really to take my own back with me, which I kind of regret doing, because it wasn't all that much extra, but I already had, I had three Phase One backs in my bag, none of which belonged to me. when I went over there.
You make yourself sound like a kleptomaniac. So just for a bit of fun factor, can you just list out, because you went down to Chile, can you list out just the gear that you brought with you? Because I think most people, when they check in at an airport, and we all do it, we all arrive at an airport and we've got our gear and we have it in a backpack or a bag, and some of it's in our coat pockets, and we just hope that we don't get pulled out so that our cabin luggage is weighed, because we know it's far too heavy. So that's how most of us travel. give us an overview of your gear list for this particular trip.
So normally when I travel, I try to get everything in the carry-on, which is an f-stop bag, the bigger one, the Satori. And it's basically the maximum airline legal size. And it's airline legal size, but it's never airline legal weight when I'm traveling. It's quite a bit over. And exactly as you say, you try to look casual as you lift it into the overhead compartment, struggling the whole way. It's got my laptop in it, and it's got an iPad, and it's got, all the camera gear usually. But on this trip, I had to have a Pelican case that was checked gear. And so in that, I put things that were, not mission critical, that were things that if they got lost or stolen, that it wouldn't destroy the project. And so basically all the backs, for example, went in the carry-on with me, but the lenses and things like that and other things that were for my own follow-on project after Timo's work went in the Pelican case, and there was no problem with it. But it does make you a little nervous to be putting that stuff in the check bag, and a Pelican case also screams valuable goods, you know. So that was what I had. So anyway, I can't list everything, but essentially I had three phase one backs. I had two cameras, two camera bodies. I had, I had a 35 millimeter Schneider lens. I had a 240 millimeter Schneider lens, and I had, there was one in the middle too. I actually didn't bring my 80. I brought a 105 to 210 Mamiya lens. So that was all the phase one lens. Oh, and my 24 millimeter fisheye. So that was all the phase one gear. And then I also had two Sony A7 bodies. I had the A7 R2 and my old A7R, because I was going to do some night photography. And that's a superior camera for that particular use. And I then had two lenses, a 24 and a 14 millimeter lens, Canon mount lenses, but adapted for the Sonys. And then, of course, I also had, my M600 drone in its case, which went to Chile, but is actually being delivered back here tomorrow, or the day after having been in Chile for 6 weeks. And I haven't seen it since it left here 6 weeks ago, because it got stuck in customs, but that's a whole nother story.
So not even all of the gear actually arrived with you on set, if you like.
Yes.
So, I mean, you just called out somebody's wish list, Christmas wish list of gear. Talk about the relief that you had when you saw that Pelican case up here at the other end. You must have been mightily pleased.
I was absolutely. But I suppose it's one of those things that, you don't put that kind of thing in an airplane unless it's insured. So I knew that if it got stolen, everything in there was insured. Either the stuff that belonged to phase one, their insurance would cover. The stuff that belonged to me, my insurance would cover. The big problem would be that if there was something critical in there that would stop the project in its tracks that was missing. And that's the major sense of relief that I had when I got there, because there were a few things that would have made it inconvenient if they had been lost, but there was nothing in there that would say, we can't now do this. So that was, you just have to be really careful about how you plan it. But certainly, when it comes out on the conveyor belt, there is a definite lifting of a certain weight, no matter how much insurance you have. Nobody wants to lose that kind of stuff.
Well, also, I mean, it wouldn't have been mission critical, but it would have been mission less pleasant anyway.
Yes, certainly. Yes, it would have meant scrambling to get a few things that locally that we needed. It just would have been a huge pain in the ass. Mm.
So let's talk around. Are you tempted by this new trichromatic 100 megapixel back?
I have to say I kind of am. Even though I do this work for phase one, I'm you know, I'm not, I don't get gear for free from them. You know, I get to use a lot of gear and I get to borrow gear, and I get to, you know, occasionally do something really cool like what we did in Chile. But I am a customer like anybody else, so I have to look at the financial situation. I have to say, I am tempted. My current back is 5 years old, and it's still the best camera that I own, which is really saying something. I don't need to upgrade, but having seen the images out of it, I'm like, yeah, I think I could make a case for it. So I'll be talking to them and seeing what sort of deal we can work out. That would be my hope. It is, I mean, as well as, of course, the color aspect, it's also just the more modern thing. It has some nice features. For example, you know, it has live view. For my back has live view in name only, but it's a CCD sensor, which isn't, they're not designed to be able to refresh fast. So you only get an approximation of the kind of live view we're used to with other cameras. Whereas with the 100 megapixel back, it's a CMOS chip. So it's just like the Canon live view. It's a little bit, it's not quite as smooth, but it's very, very good and very usable. And you get used to that pretty quickly. And then the other thing is that it has one of the features that I think is the best feature of the new backs, and it's a silly little thing. Well, it's not really, but it is a relatively small thing. You know, when you take a photograph with your normal camera and you get the little blinking black and the flashing highlight warning, which you can never rely on, because it's you know that there's a chance you're overexposed, but you don't actually know if you are. And in fact, you know that to a certain amount you're not, because it will blink before the actual RAW file is clipped. And for some reason, it's a very difficult thing to actually show that to the user when the RAW file itself is clipped. And the new IQ backs, in fact, have that feature that it shows you purple on the image if it's actually overexposed. So if you see purple, you know for a fact you have overexposed and you cannot recover what's there. So you can back it off. And there's none of this guesswork of, well, I think I can recover that in post.
That is interesting, because you do exactly as you say. But I think, and most of us, of course, over time now, I mean, I've been living with my cameras now for, gosh, one of them is 10 years old, older even, 2005. When was that? That was 12 years ago. So I've been living with this camera for a long time. So you learn when you look at the back and it's blinking away at you, after that amount of experience with the camera, you know whether it really is overexposed or not. I mean, you get a sixth sense. But to actually have confirmation and not have to have 12 years of living with a camera and getting to know it intimately and practically being married to it is, of course, very useful, that you can look at, oh, it's purple. It's gone. I need to dial it back. Rather than using your Jedi mind skills and mind melding with your camera and knowing, no, it's okay. Or in fact, no, it isn't okay on this occasion. No, I really have gone too far.
Exactly. And in fact, with the thing with that experience is that you always still give yourself a little bit of wiggle room. So you're always still not actually using the full extent of the dynamic range. Whereas with this, you can do exactly that.
So it is like driving the car when it's showing empty. You have a sense of when you can and when you can't, and you do not go the full Kramer on it.
Yes.
Okay, so let's talk about another piece of gear then, because let's talk about another thing that has happened recently that has been seismic. I mean, it's actually shifted your business, literally shifted your business. Your business moved because of this. You moved, basically the gallery moved. It's okay. There, you know, nothing bad happened in Killarney. So let's talk about the gallery move, because again, a bit like you're flying down to Chile with all this gear, moving a gallery is not the same as just moving any old kind of premises, because you've got so much stuff.
Yes.
So let's talk around that.
You have no idea how much stuff. And in fact, I had no idea how much stuff. It was crazy. So yeah, my lease for the premises that I've been in for the last 4.5 years expires in April of next year. And because I have very specific needs, I need a good unit with lots of space. I've started looking around this year, and I found a spot just on Plunkett Street in Killarney. So it's just around the corner. It's a 2-minute walk from the old gallery. Still very much in the center of Killarney, still a very prime area. And actually, this is this unit is actually bigger in terms of retail space than the previous one. We have about the same amount of wall space downstairs, even though it's a slightly narrower building. But we also have this wonderful space upstairs, which at the moment is full of boxes and crap and all sorts of things from the move. Hence, the you have no idea how much stuff comment. because while we have more retail space, we also have less storage space. We're kind of working around that, and we're finding places for everything right now. We moved, it's 2 weeks ago nearly now. It doesn't feel like that. And that was fairly traumatic. So essentially, the Chile trip was the beginning of August until kind of nearly the end of August. And then I had like 3 or 4 days. And then I had this Ireland workshop that ran until the 8th of September. And then we moved the gallery on the 11th, on the 10th and the 11th, actually. So I have just this crazy month and a half of insane travel. And then, of course, there was somebody in the gallery painting, and the electricians were in from the 1st of September. So I was managing all that while on the workshop, although it ran fairly smoothly, that side of things, so it didn't need much. So there was a huge amount that went into it. And then my staff were wonderful, and, you know, my neighbors came and we were able to get everything shifted, including the old printer, which was kind of the beating heart of the business. That I was the thing that I was most worried about, because it's extremely heavy. It weighs 260 pounds. So you'll have to convert that into metric for me. But yeah, 260 pounds. So basically a very stout person, shall we say. And that then had to be brought down the stairs from the old workshop, wheeled across town and brought up the stairs in the new workshop. And then about a week later, another one had to be brought upstairs because I actually replaced it and upgraded as part of the move. I was hoping somebody would buy. I had no real time to sell the old printer before the move, but the ideal situation would have been somebody would have bought it around the time I was moving out, so they would have taken it down from the old place, and then the new one would just have to be brought up. But that didn't quite work out that way. So both printers are there at the moment.
And I'm presuming the new printer also weighs the same as a very hefty human being.
Actually, it weighs 48 pounds more than the other one did. So
two human beings, in yes. other words.
Yeah, two average size people, pretty much, two average size adults. So yeah, that's that whole thing. So the move was as anybody that's moved house or apartment knows that it's a huge pain. I would say moving a business is even more so, because it's on top of everything else. You also have the constant fear that you're missing out on sales, because every day that you're closed is a day that you're not earning revenue, and moves are expensive. You know, you got to pay to get the place painted, you got to get the electricians in, you got to pay for those, you've got to pay for people to help you come and move. It's all expensive, and then you're not earning money while it's happening. So we spent, you know, we were closed in the end for basically really 4 days in the end. I wanted to be closed for one, and we ended up being closed for four. And I think that's probably a bit more realistic. I was a bit naive. So yeah, it's now we're open. We have been open now for about a week and a half, and in the new space. We're only open in the downstairs floor because we're still sorting out the upstairs. But before Christmas, I hope to have the upstairs opened. And it's wonderful, because we have, when in the old gallery, which was really much, much bigger than my first place. I remember being in there when it was cleared out and nearly finished inside, but before we hung anything on the walls. And I remember looking at it going, how am I ever going to fill these walls? This is crazy. And of course, 3 weeks later, I was thinking to myself, God, I could really use some more wall space. and now I have it in the new gallery, and it's because one of the interesting things when you're selling prints is that you have, people have a really hard time visualizing what an image is going to look like if they can't see it in front of them. And that can even be as to the extent of they see an image in a small size, let's say kind of an A4 size or an 8x10 inch, sort of that kind of size. And they can see the image, and they're interested in it as a big photograph. And you say, well, we don't have that particular photograph large on the walls at the moment, but you see that one over there, that's exactly the same size that this one is going to be. So just, that's how it will look with this. Imagine the smaller image just projected large onto that. And people just have a really hard time picturing that. And so actually you lose upsells, if you like, as a result of that, because they can't see it. So the more space you have to show larger images, the better off you are. And that's what we're going to do with the upstairs. It's going to be kind of a large image area where we just have lots of big images up on the walls. And we have, it's a double height thing. So we actually, it could be two floors, but it's been opened up. So we have up and down on the walls that we can put images on.
I remember being in Arles in 2011 for the photography festival, and one of the exhibitions was a single print, but it stretched, it was in a huge, it was in a church, I seem to remember, and it stretched all the way down one side, across the back, and all the way up the other side.
Oh wow.
It just ran for and with your new printer you could easily print something that that long, so suddenly wall space becomes very you fill a wall very easily that way.
Absolutely. Wow, that's impressive.
So where is the new gallery? Just in case people are sitting in front of their computers and want to Google it or have a look on Google Earth or drop the little man and see your new gallery.
Drop the little man. Is that a euphemism for something?
Oh, gosh. Well, we can always cut this bit out, but yeah, I do remember being in the gallery one evening, in your first gallery, I'd say small, it was a nice space, and you and I were at the back of the gallery and just to sketch the picture for the listener. The gallery was quite narrow but very deep, and Peter and I are at the back of the gallery, and all of a sudden, mid-sentence, Peter expletive, and he takes off and he sprints the length of his gallery and starts banging on the door.
I forgot you were there for that.
Yeah, because somebody outside had decided to drop the little man.
Yeah, so in fact, two people simultaneously and spreading it, making sure there was good coverage. Yes. So yes, the gallery is at, it's at 5 Plunkett Street. So on, in Google Earth or Google Maps, I have updated the location. So if you look for Peter Cox Photography Gallery, on there, you will find it. In fact, I'm just realizing that as we're recording this, I don't think I've updated the map on the website, but I'll do that now. But yes, on Google Maps, if you Google it, you'll find it. It is literally around the corner from the old place, and no more than a 2-minute walk. In fact, it might even be less than that. And it's quite a nice space. So if you're in the area, certainly do come by and have a look.
And also, if you feel like picking up a £260 printer, it's for sale.
It is for sale. So yes, if you are interested in buying my Epson 9890, my much loved and still performing excellently printer, then do let me know. Send me an email.
Do you want to talk very briefly about the new printer? Because it's there.
It is there, yes. So what we've, and the reason that I upgraded was I have the Epson 9890, which I've had for the last 5 years. It's had a new printhead installed in it 6 months ago. So actually it's got quite a lot of life left in it. But the P9000, which is the new version of the same printer, more or less, has been out for a while now. And I got a very good offer in terms of an extended warranty, which actually for a business user is important. For I always say no when somebody offers it to me for a consumer purchase, but for the beating engine of the gallery, I figure it's kind of important. And also it has two extra inks. It's got an orange and a green ink, and the inks are also, they're called the HDR inks. So they have basically an expanded dynamic range. So they're you can get more shadow detail out of them, which, and a lot of my prints actually rely on that to a certain extent. I like moody prints, and shadow detail is important for that. So I got the thing, and actually I'm very, very pleased with it. The first few test prints that we've made, when I compare them with prints that were made with the old printer, there is a noticeable difference in terms of the quality. Now, the old printer I was delighted with, and still am delighted with the prints, but this does have an edge, and gives a bit more detail in the shadows, and some nicer colors.
So Peter, what have you got coming up in the next couple of months? Anything exciting? Anything we should know about? Anything to look out for? Are you taking a rest? Are you just saying, look, I've been to Chile, I've moved the gallery, I've done a workshop, I'm now going to retire for the rest of the year and you won't hear from me until January?
Oh God, I'd love to do that. I do have other things that I need to do. Now, actually, I have a bit of time to get myself sorted out, although on Thursday, I am going to be doing a workshop on Inish Turk. And in fact, by the time you hear this podcast, that workshop will have finished. Inish Turk is an island off the west coast. I'm doing this as part of the Irish Light Islands Festival, which is a project that I work on with other Irish landscape photographers. And this year, the theme is islands. So that's a 3-day workshop we're going to do. That's going to be fun. And then I have a workshop in October on the Isle of Skye with my friend Steve Gosling, which is fully booked, which is nice. And that's a week long. And then after that, I am done until actually I've deliberately got very little travel scheduled for next year. Now, I did say the same thing in the same situation was the case this time last year. So I'm going to try to keep the travel schedule back as much as I can, because travel is wonderful, but too much of it is like anything else. There's too much of a good thing is too much. So I need to spend time in Ireland dealing with the business, working on projects in Ireland, and also, of course, spending time with the family. So that's my plan for the rest of the year. And next year, in terms of workshops, there is an Ireland workshop in August/September, and then also my Svalbard trip, which I'm really looking forward to in August. Thanks, guys, for listening, and tune in whenever we do the next one of these. They are a little bit irregular, but we enjoy doing them.
We certainly do. Take care.